Now we move on to the second reading, which is from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the verses they select are 6 to 8 and 13 to 14, which means they leave out 9, 10, 11, and 12. But you can open up your Bible and read them. It would be a very good idea. And I will fill them in here as we're getting ready for this Sunday. So, you see, Paul is talking about the work that he's doing. Here it is. He starts, you see, with verse 6 of chapter 1, but it's nice to have the context. So, if you'll allow, I'll read some of the context. These letters are among the last that Paul writes. He's probably in jail. And he's writing to Timothy, who's over in Ephesus, because Paul sent him there. And he says that in the here, I sent you to Ephesus and so forth. I just want to get you a sense of where we are. This is the Jerusalem Bible. It's okay, they're all pretty good. And they're all, nothing can replace the reading of the text, you know. I don't know what, if you get a chance, or if there's a Greek course in your parish, and you take it, you'll be very glad you did. Okay. So, first five verses are all about, I'm in 2 Timothy instead of, okay. So, the first is the usual greeting, and then night and day I thank God, keeping my conscience clear and remembering my duty as my ancestors did, Jewish, and always remember you in my prayers. And then he goes on, and then finally starts with verse 6. That is why I am reminding you now to fan into a flame the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. God's gift was not a spirit of timidity, but the spirit of power and love and self-control. That's what characterizes a man of God. Power, love, and self-control. Power, that is, there's a force in his personality which is not just like an army general. It's from a deeper place in the human being. It's the Holy Spirit. See, and that's why he says here, you see, God did not give us this spirit of pusillanimity. I forgot how they translate it now. Anyway, and you get this, you see, the charisma, the grace of God, which came through the imposing of my hands, ordination rite, which was already a Jewish gesture. Moses was instructed to lay his hands on the Levites. It's empowering something that I have and giving it to you. And so that's what he's saying here, you see. Stir it up. Don't let it, you know, you have the grace. Therefore, take advantage of it. Sometimes we priests, you see, we're in such a jam. Now there's a whole bunch of people shouting at us, or something else has gone wrong. And we want to just sort of duck. Oh, I got an appointment. See you later. No, we don't have an appointment. Stir into flame the gift of God. You've got what it takes to confront this situation if you just yield to it and want it. Now, nobody wants a fight, but sometimes you have to take a lot of abuse to win the person over. And it's no fun. I think I've told you about the time that couple came out after Mass. I've been talking about repentance. And as this couple came out, in the most sarcastic tone you could imagine, they said, Don't worry, Father. A few will be saved. I thought, you know, I'd like to punch him in the nose, but I wasn't supposed to do that. So I was, you know, trying to win him over. It was tough, you see? But that's what it's saying here, you see? We don't have a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and self-control. Now, if you take my little incident there, I had love and self-control. I suppose the power of the Lord and His Word was there. I don't remember that there was any noticeable change in them. And I don't remember if they ever came back, or at least if they stopped again to say something. So then Paul goes on, "Do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord." Isn't that beautiful? You see? Don't be ashamed. And that's exactly the word. Of your martyrion to Kyriohimon. Nor of me, his prisoner. You know, if things get tough, and one of your friends goes to jail for preaching the gospel, and the cops say, "Do you know John Doe?" "No, I don't think I do." And you know him very well, but you don't want to be, you know, connected with him. You might go to jail yourself. So Paul is saying, don't be ashamed of me, even though I'm a prisoner. Tell him you're my friend. And bear your share of hardship for the gospel, which is, with the power of God. We can't do it on our own. Whether we're talking about the priest and all his daily life, which is bearing the gospel wherever he goes, bearing the Lord Christ wherever he goes, his love, his beauty, his truth, his compassion, wherever we go, don't get tired of it. And certainly don't duck it. You see? Stir into flame the gift that came with the imposition of hands. Remarkable, huh? Another man puts his hands on us and prays, and God changes us, gives us a character by which we can speak the words of Christ, and they are imbued with the power of Christ. I absolve you from your sins. I baptize you. This is my body. This is my blood. You see, those words now have Christ's power. That's what ordination is, and that's why he's saying, stir up that in you. It was given to you at the imposition of my hands. You see, and don't be ashamed of me. Paul of Tarsus? No, I never heard of the guy. Because you figure he's in trouble if the cops are asking you if you know him. See? Or your testimony to the Lord, or me, a prisoner. But bear your share of hardship for the gospel, you see? With the power of God. Okay. Then there's a part that's skipped in the reading, but I want to give you just an idea of what it says. It goes from, as I said, now the skip is from 9 to 12. 9 to 12 read like this, and it's always helpful when you're getting ready, and even to tell the people. The people preparing these texts are always concerned about the parking lot. They got to get everybody in and out. If the readings are too long, they'll get bored, or they'll get nervous, or they'll leave early, or I don't think they will, really. But anyway, because the Word of God is so beautiful that if we really let it be read well and preached well, people will stay. Okay. So the text goes there, for this reason, the part I've just been telling you about, you see, in 2 Timothy 1, starting with 6, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. And then, with the power of God. And then, he saved us. This is verse 9. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Death, where is your sting? I will die, but I won't stay dead, because Christ lives in me, and in my body I will see the Lord, as Job says, you see? Death is not the final word. Life is the final word for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that's what he's saying here, you see? Manifest, brought to light, the immortality, life and immortality brought to life through the gospel, for which I was appointed preacher and apostle and teacher. On this account, I am suffering these things, but I am not ashamed. I look like a criminal, but I'm not. For I know him in whom I have believed, and I am confident that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. I know the one I have believed. That means I'm not saying I believe that. I'm saying I believe you. I believe you, Jesus. You said you'd always stick by me. I believe you. He said that he who confesses you before men, you will confess that one before the Father. I believe you. So you see, it's not just a believe that. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Certainly that is. No, it's I believe you. You said these things, Jesus, and you had them come down to us so that we could all hear them. And I believe you. You are never going to leave me alone, even when I feel alone. And that's what he's saying there, you see. And so, the last verses, 13 and 14, take as your norm the sound word that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we knew that everything we were saying was sound? It's not ignorance or sloth or ego. It's just the truth. Then you can say, take these words and put them into practice in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And then finally, the very last, guard this wrist trust. Isn't that beautiful? See, this parathiki kali, keep it. Through the dia pneumatos aio, through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. So we have power and we can be helped. And even if it leads to like some real suffering, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, dwells in us. Our Lord already told us in the Gospels, if they bring you to court, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Spirit of your Father will be there to tell you what to say. And so, while there's the echo of persecution or opposition, Paul is saying, don't worry. The Holy Spirit is there, and you will have the courage you need, you will have the wisdom you need to preach the gospel, even to those who have never heard it and are opposed to you. Amen. Mm-hmm.